All right, Proverbs chapter 4. Are you there? You had plenty of time to open your Bibles now? Okay, good. Now, someone asked before we started the Bible study, could they get the tapes of chapters 1, 2, and 3? I'm pretty sure you can. They should be back there. At least, if they're not, they should be. As far as I knew, they were back there. And now, you might not see chapter 1 back there. If you don't, there's a little form that you can fill out saying, oh, I need chapter 1 or whatever. And they'll get that to you. But yeah, these studies should be available. Also, they're on the internet, and you can listen that way as well. But don't ask me what our website address is, okay? All right, because it's a long one. Let's see. Let's start out in chapter 4 with verse 1, which makes perfect sense. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. So the exhortation that we're going to get now in chapter 4 begins like this. Listen. It's a great way to begin it. He says, hear or listen, ye children. It's plural. The children of God. These are God's children. Now, if you're a Christian, and I want to make sure you know I'm talking to you. If you are born again, if you have asked Jesus into your heart, if it is for real and you know that you've done that for sure, then you are a child of God. If you have never asked Jesus into your life, then you're not a child of God. You are a child of the devil. And you will serve, you will do what your father tells you to do always. But if you are a Christian and you've asked Jesus into your heart, then the truth is your father is God the Father. Now Romans 8 verse 16 says this. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God's Holy Spirit, when you are born again, God's Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. And the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you know that you are a child of God. Now that's kind of an interesting statement, because you'll find a lot of people who say, I don't know if I'm a child of God or not. Well, it's easy to know. All you have to do is ask Jesus Christ into your life. It's very common when we discuss this with people that the people will say this kind of thing. We'll say, how long have you been a Christian? And they'll say, all my life. Now you've heard that one, haven't you? Well, okay, now what do you mean all of your life? You think you were born that way? And a lot of times, they will look at you and think that's an odd question. Well, no, I've been a Christian all my life. When did you, on purpose, stop and pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart? And sometimes they'll look at you and go, well, I never have. I've always been saved. Whoa, dude. I think that you do need to. There needs to come a time in the heart of every individual when they recognize their need for a Savior. And they ask Jesus Christ in. Now, sometimes I've seen 8-year-olds do that, knowing full well what they're doing. It's not like you have to have an amazing Bible college background and understand all of theology. But there is a point where you do need to make sure that you're sure that you're sure. You'll see that throughout Scripture. New Testament, you'll see that we're told to make our calling and election sure. Now, just because you're American, some people think, well, I'm a Christian because I'm American, and America is a Christian nation. Well, no, America is not a Christian nation. That should be clear by just turning your TV on. No, America is not a Christian nation, and just because you are born in America, you're not a Christian. It doesn't work that way. You need to also recognize that you are a sinner. We all need to recognize we're sinners, recognize there is no hope, we are separated from God, headed for eternal suffering, and realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and He has died on the cross for the sins of the world, for our sins, and He has risen from the dead. We need to recognize all that. That's what the gospel is. With Romans 8:16, I read it to you. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How did we become children of God? If we are, and the Spirit witnesses to our spirit that we are children of God. How did we become children of God? Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You say, how did I become, if I'm a child of God, how did I get that way? Galatians 3:26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's the only way to become a child of God. You say, well, everybody living is a child of God. No, Jesus himself, to the Pharisees, you can watch him. You watch him in John chapter 8. They said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, no, if Abraham were your father, you'd believe in me. Because Abraham believed in me. Abraham's not your father. They said, oh, yes, he is. And Jesus said, no. Satan is your father. You are children of the devil. So it's true. When he starts to talk to us, when he says, listen, you children, this is only written to the children of God. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You must be born again. Jesus said it in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus. You must be born again. Nicodemus was part of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, one of the great teachers in Israel. And he still couldn't get to heaven unless he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. Now, it's a plural word there. He says, listen, ye children. Plural. Children includes young and old alike in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ. So this is to you that are Christians, to all of us that are Christians. He says, listen to the, you children, to the instruction of a father. And attend to no understanding. To attend to no understanding means pay attention to this. Give specific, special attention to no understanding. Put your heart and your head behind this. Get into this, is what he's saying. Are you studying your Bibles? We've talked about it. You're going to see that a whole lot through Proverbs. You're going to see that God is telling us, are you really putting your whole heart and your whole mind, are you giving yourself to this, or is this just something that you do when it's convenient? He says, attend to no understanding. Now, we all have said, probably, most of us have said, let's put it that way, that we just don't have enough time for Bible study. Some even say, I don't have time to read my Bible. Well, you do. Of course you do. You've got time. Skip a meal. Skip many of the other things that you do. There is always time. You'll notice that we as people have time to do what we want. There's always time to do what we want. And of course you learned earlier on, we should want to learn about God and His Word. So He says, attend to no understanding. Pay attention, specific attention to this instruction, He says. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Good doctrine. You know, I've also heard it said, maybe you have too, by Christians. Very common in today's Christian world. Very common for Christians to say, well, doctrine isn't important. Well, you know, if doctrine isn't important, then you could just go ahead and join a cult. Who cares what the doctrine is then? True? No, it doesn't make sense at all. Doctrine is very important. Paul is going to tell Timothy later on in the book, Paul is going to say to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, rightly dividing the word, that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word. Yeah, doctrine is important. And he says, listen, you know, here's the exhortation. It begins with, listen, my children, or you children, to the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. You listen to the teachings of God himself, you'll have good, solid doctrine. The cults don't have good, solid doctrine. Oh, they have good arguments at times. They're able to maybe beat you at your arguments. But their doctrine is no good. It doesn't work. It's not scriptural. It doesn't stand up to the Bible. And so what do they have to do? Well, if it doesn't stand up to the Word of God, They've got to do what? Fix the Word of God. So what would you expect a cult to do? Have their own Bible. Isn't this easy? Sure, you have your own Bible. So, you know, the guy comes to your door, knocks on your door, and he says something about God, and you think, oh, a Christian, come on in. They start discussing it with you, and you pull out your Bible, and they go, oh, no, you got the wrong one. I do. What's the right one? Ours. You know, and we open to the first book of opinion, and we read this, you know. And you think, wait a minute, hold it. Wait a minute, where is that in the Word of God? And can you show me that in context with what's going on around it? And of course, then you'll have a fight on your hands. Good doctrine. Do not forsake the teaching of good doctrine. It's going to take a little bit of effort on your part. A little bit of effort is going to take work. Now, we don't like to work. I know how you feel. We're a society that's really into convenience. Convenience is so convenient, isn't it? We want to do things quickly. I want everything now. That's just the way I want. Yeah, you know anybody else that way? Now. Let's just do it now. When you go through a drive-through window, you don't expect to wait, do you? I mean, if I knew I was going to have to sit here for 10 minutes... I wouldn't have come through this window. The goal wasn't to hang around. The goal was to get in and get out and get gone. Yeah, so the whole goal behind my life is to get it and get moving. I mean, isn't that what a drive-in window or a drive-through window is all about, in theory? But our whole society is that way. We've become that way. We want to get it done now. Go quick. We don't want to wait. And so when we were doing book reports in school, I thought, I don't want to read this whole book. Isn't there a quicker way? How many of you felt that way? None of you. You're pretty good students. Well, one. My kind of guy. And so what did we do? We go down to a bookstore, and you go to the education section. They had these really ugly little yellow-covered books. Remember those? And they would give you, in a nutshell, you could write a whole book report on the book, and you can read the thing in 40 pages. You never did that? If you did, I'm telling your teacher. Didn't do that? A lot of people did. Sure. And, you know, if you don't have time to study, you could, in college, you could pay for the answers. Remember that? Now, next time you go to the doctor, think about that. And if he had the money, he could have, or she could have, they could have gotten their answers some other way besides knowing them. I was there's a high school site that we have for the high school I graduated from. Not very many of the people that I graduated with are on that site. I think maybe a dozen. So it's kind of neat because I haven't seen them in 30 years. But there are a lot of people on the site because they have classes from 1960 all the way through the year 2000. So that's a lot of people. So there are probably maybe 2,000 to 3,000 people there on the site. That check in every few days. So they have this trivia kind of contest that will go on. Some with music, some with pictures of the town, and you have to guess what it is. Some with TV from way back, some of the old series like Andy Griffith, some of the things that were on in the 60s. And I noticed that this one lady, man, she remembered everything. And I thought, how does she do that? And then so I didn't ask her, but somebody put a little note there that said, now, I mean, we put the question, you remember the tiniest details to these things. How do you do that? She goes, well, here's the website. Just click on the website. It gives you all the details about that TV program. So all these people are racking their brains going, oh, I can't remember. And here's someone who, she's found a shortcut. Just click on that website. You want to, Andy of Mayberry, there's a website. I mean, there's a website for anything. Or you, if you got an encyclopedia and you want to take the time, you don't ever have to know. Excuse me. You take it the fast way. That's not what this verse is all about. He says, I give you good doctrine. Don't forsake my law. Stay in it. Learn it. Let it become part of your routine. Study. Grow. And then it goes further. He says, for I was my father's son. Who was his father? You know, Solomon is speaking. Who was his dad? David, King David. And here's something very interesting. He said, I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. What's he telling you? Well, my dad liked me, but I wasn't his choice for king. It was my mom kind of set this thing up. She really liked me. Solomon grew up around the girls. And as you'll learn as you read his life, he kind of hung around the girls the rest of his life too. It cost him dearly. He had 700 wives, 300 porcupines. It was a very sticky situation. They're concubines is what they were, but it was really, you know, got poked a lot, you know. He says, I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. But my dad taught me also. He taught me also. He said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. If you'd like to read about Solomon, you can go back. We'll start in 1 Samuel, though, so that you can see how David got to be king and kind of how it all worked. And then kind of go on from there. 1 and 2 Samuel, then go on and read through Chronicles. You know, see how it works. And you'll see David giving Solomon the advice. And his advice was this. Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. They were the words of what? Well, you already know. If you read about King David talking to his son as King David was going to die and Solomon would take the throne, you know that King David said you need to listen to the words that are God's words. You need to listen to my words, he says. These come straight from God. So listen to them. And of course, you've seen this over and over now. We'll say the verse again. Hopefully you've got it memorized. Let your heart retain my words. What's the verse? Psalm 119, verse 11. What does it say? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Remember that? Let your heart retain these things. Let them stick in there. How's your walk going? When you're confronted with an issue, do you think about the Word of God right away? Or do you think about some way, something else? I mean, you'll know what your heart's all about right there. When something begins to go wrong, what's the first thing that comes to your heart and mind? God will take care of this, or, oh, I better go buy a gun. I mean, what is it? And you'll know right away, is your heart retaining these things? He says, thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. What did Jesus say? I have come that you might have life. And life what? Abundantly. You know, some people never get to live. Every day's a hassle. Every day's a stress. Every day's miserable. They fight with each other. They fight with this. They fight with that. They never get to live. They're never really free to have the joy and that peace. Now, it's funny that they say they're Christians. And of course, you and I can be Christians, truly born again, and never really get to live. Because everything's always weighing us down. And I know you've talked to you a little bit about Winnie the Pooh and the characters that are involved there. You look at those characters, and that writer really understood human nature. And you see the little character that's scared to death of everything, little piglet, but you have Eeyore. Eeyore is depressed all the time. Always. And if it rains today, I'm the only one that's going to get wet. You know, it's just, life is hard. You ever run into somebody like that? They're born again, but how's it going? Oh, man. You know, this week, the hose broke. No. And here they go. They don't really get to live. There's no joy there. There's no peace.
What does he say? He taught me also and said unto me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. That's something on your part you're going to do. Go get it. Get understanding. No, forget it. Forget it not. Go get it. Work on this. Open your Bible. Have a time set aside where you study your Bible. I think we put in more work by trying to avoid studying it. You know, and many of the pastors have said, Pastor Chuck has said it, we ought to read our Bibles, and it'll shed a lot of light on those commentaries we're spending so much time in. You know, we spend so much time avoiding trying to study the Word of God. He says, get wisdom. Go get it. Somebody says to you, all right, there's a we've given you this property, and in this property, somewhere in this 20 acres, is a vein of gold. Go get it. What would you do? Okay, gold, that's cool. No, I think you'd probably go, gold, where? Well, it's just in this 1 mile area here. All right, we're going to go get it. Let's get the tools. Let's go get the equipment. We're going to get this gold. Well, he says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget it. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Don't ever back away from it. Weren't you there? He says, forsake her not, speaking of wisdom. She shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Isn't that what your Bible says? Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom, the Bible says, is the supreme thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the main thing. So you want to major on that. Of course, you already know what wisdom is. Well, I'll show you the scripture in a little while. But what is wisdom? Remember we talked about that, I think, the first time in chapter 1? Wisdom is the proper use of knowledge, the ability to use the knowledge that you have. You have probably met with or talked with or known in your life someone who was really, really smart, but they didn't know anything. Have you ever met people like that? They can answer everything. I mean, you know, what's the chemical symbol for iron? And they know. You know, well, what's the capital of Arizona? And they know. $2.50. They know. That was a joke. You'll have to think of capital. And well, it's all right. But they don't know how to use this knowledge. They have no wisdom. Do you know that when Einstein, Mr. Einstein, who was very intelligent, when he was in elementary school, they kicked him out. They thought he was mentally slow. He was very, very smart. He just, at that age, didn't know how to use everything that was loaded in there. And, there are many, many people in the world today, you can see them, they have no wisdom at all. They're just very, very smart. They don't know how to put to use what they know. And so they go into the ministry a lot of times. It's in James chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 13. Go through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good lifestyle his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, don't glory and don't lie against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Wisdom is the principal thing. And we want the wisdom that comes from above. Of course, that's what he's talking about. And what is it first? Pure. And of course, James there gives you a list. You can kind of write those verses down and read them again later. Exalt her, speaking about wisdom again, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you embrace her. She shall give to your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver unto you. Wisdom. We've already looked at this verse a few studies ago, but let's look again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. This will make you clear, or make this more clear, I hope. Wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1, 29 through 31. That no flesh should glory in his presence, in the presence of God. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Who is made unto us wisdom? Jesus. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. What's the main thing? Wisdom. Where are we going to get it? You got to be in Jesus Christ. And that's the wisdom from above that's real. And it is first what? Pure. You don't have to worry about it. Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. And he says this. Wisdom is the principal thing. You need to know Jesus. We need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just a passing little thing. Say, I'm a Christian. Yeah, you accepted Jesus. Yeah, that's it. No, we need to know Jesus Christ. There needs to be a relationship there. You get to know him. You spend time with him. You talk with the Lord. You listen to what he's got to say. You're going to learn these things in his word. And that's what Solomon is telling his children. This is important. The way he starts the whole chapter is, listen. Here's a complete chapter of exhortation, and he starts it out with, listen to this. Pay close attention to this. He says in verse 10, listen, O my son. Receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. You know, you think about what you've learned in the Word of God so far, in your own Bible reading, in your own simple study, how God is teaching you how to walk, how you ought to be acting, where you ought to be hanging out, how God slowly, as you listen to Him, begins to grow you up and teach you how to think, how to properly act in a situation. God's Word teaches you not to react, but to act. Now, naturally, what do? We react. Naturally, we react. Someone spits at you, you react somehow. Someone gets mad at you, you react. Sometimes that reaction is anger in return. Sometimes it's fear, but it's a reaction. And by the Word of God is teaching you now to begin to act on these things, not to react to them. Well, so when someone is railing against you or yelling at you, Jesus says, don't rail back. Don't return evil for evil. Naturally, your reaction would be to do that, but you're not going to react. You're going to act. Jesus didn't react when the people spit at him. He kept his mouth closed. Jesus didn't react when they tried to trick him, to trap him. Instead, he acted upon what they were doing. And he even said, why are you trying to trick me? Show me the coin. Why are you saying this? I realize what you're doing. There's no future. He didn't react. He acted upon what they were saying. It's the Word of God. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. God's Word instructs you daily. Now, don't read it and put it down and not pick it up for another 2 weeks. Because, see, you and I need instruction today. We need instruction regularly. The paths that we're on are paths we need to know how to walk in and on today. But many Christians are guilty of, well, I really haven't read my Bible in quite a while. I don't really have the time. Guys that teach and girls that teach Bible study, a lot of times, they're so busy studying their Bible to teach, they don't have time to read. big mistake. And so you're not being led in the paths. And he says, my son, hear this. Receive my saying. Let God's word get into your heart. And the years of your life shall be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. God's word will take you and allow you to see. And of course, you'll see the psalmist will say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Now, if it's dark outside and you're going to walk outside and you've got a light, it doesn't have to be very bright, does it? When we were in the Indian Ocean, when the sun goes down and it's cloudy, or when the moon is not even there, sometimes the moon is in the phase where you can't see the moon. It was so dark you couldn't see your hand near your face. It was that dark. There's nothing but ocean out there in this little bitty island. So they painted the trees up to 8 feet, the palm trees, they painted them all white, up to 8 feet off the ground. I'm telling you right now, without a flashlight, we still walked into them. You walk right into a tree, and that's painful. And sometimes you'd get a flashlight, and the batteries were going dead, and you'd turn the thing on, and you'd think, oh, this thing's not working. Oh, great. But yet, when you go outside, if it was cloudy, or the moon wasn't making a lot of light, you'd turn that, even if it was a little bitty, you could see right where you're going. And these coconut crabs are huge. And I was poking one of them one time, you know how? They said, don't mess with them. I took a broom, big old broomstick. I was poking at it, and it grabbed it and broke the broomstick with its pinch. And I thought, man, I'm wearing my shoes when I walk from place to place from now on. Because it is dark, and you cannot see where you're going, but you'll know. Because you'll hit a tree, or something will grab your toe. And you think, no. What did God say? I've taught you. His word's a lamp unto your feet, a light to your path. If you use the word of God and you are in the word of God, you will see where to step. You'll see where to go. Maybe you can't see very far, but that's not important. You can see where you need to be walking. And he's going to say something else in a moment. Right here, look at this. When you go, your steps shall not be straightened. And when you run, you shall not stumble. Now, straightened means restricted. It's a King James word. You probably wouldn't use straighten. You just go right straight to the word restricted. He says, when you go, because you are listening to the word, when you go, your steps will not be restricted. You'll be able to walk freely and safely. Another word, if you don't use restricted, the word cramped also can be translated from this word. So your steps will not be cramped. You'll be able to walk freely and solidly. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is your life. Notice he says, your steps will not be restricted or cramped. When you run, it'll be sure footing. You won't stumble. Take fast hold on instruction. You know, if you said that in our language today, literally, this is kind of interesting, about the Word of God now. We're talking about the Word of God. He says, learn, take fast hold of means learn all that you can. Are you doing that? Are you taking advantage of the fact that God has given you His Word? Are you really opening it up and learning all you can about the Word of God? That's what he tells us to do. Take fast hold of instruction. Don't let her go. Keep her. She is your life. Learn all that you can learn. Hang on to what you learn. Hang on to what you learn. When I worked with the navigators, I'd just been born again, not very long, and a bunch of the guys were helping me. They said, what you need to do, Bob, is one of the things you need to do is hide God's word in your heart. I'd say, okay, how do you do that? And they'd say, memorize scripture. So there's a memory plan. There's a topical memory system plan. There's 66 scriptures that you memorize. And you memorize two a week for 33 weeks. And so now you've got all 66. That's if you follow the plan. Now, I wanted to do it a little faster than that. Some of the guys would help me do it a little quicker. But you could memorize two a week for 33 weeks, and you'd have all 66 of those scriptures memorized. One thing I noticed was, although I had them all memorized, if I didn't use them, I was losing them. Have you noticed that about your walk with the Lord? Have you noticed that about even your scripture memory? You'll memorize a scripture, and you might even not even think about that for a few years. And then you'll try to quote that, and you'll think, I get the gist of it. It says something about a chicken, and you can't remember. And so I learned from that you have to review quite often. You have to go over it quite often. And so I did the first 66, and I'm kind of trying to hold on to those. And then they got me into the program number 2. So now the 66 they're trying to stick in my head. There was no room. But they tried. And I noticed you have to kind of keep up in review. You have to kind of use these things. Be quoting them. Be saying them. Be thinking about them. Kind of, you know, rolling them over in your heart and in your head. They really do stay with you. I can quote those verses today that I began memorizing in 1973. I can still remember those. The first 66. Now the second 66, they're in there. They're just parts of them. A chicken, a duck, there's a man. If God will bring it to my memory. Learn all that you can learn. And hang on to what you learn. Put it into practice, James says. Do. Be doers of these things that you learn. Not just hearers only, deceiving yourself. But be doers. Be ye doers, James chapter 1 tells us. Verse 14, this is a command to his son and to all of us. Do not enter into the path of the wicked. Do not go in the way of evil people. Don't enter into the path of the wicked. Another way to put that is don't walk the way the wicked walk. Don't walk the way evil people walk. Don't do the same things they do. Don't go to the same places they go. Don't enter into that path. How many people have been hurt by the fact that, yeah, they're born again, but they run with the wrong pack. They run with the wrong group. And that group runs in the wrong places. And they don't take heed to the Word of God, and they run in the paths of the wicked. They run in the paths of evil people. And they pay. They get in trouble. A young fellow, he was a Christian. All he was doing was hanging out with his friends. They were good friends of his. He didn't know when they stopped at the 7-Eleven that they went in and robbed it. They're just his friends. He didn't ask them what they were going in for. They said, let's just stop here. Okay. We'll run inside and we're going to grab a couple of things. We'll be back out. They came out. He took off driving down the street. It was just a few miles. The police pulled him over and they all went to jail. Well, you know, of course he was innocent. But you see, you're in a car that you're driving the getaway car. And they said, you just robbed a 7-Eleven. He said, I didn't even go in. Well, welcome to the real world. You're running with wicked people. You're running with the evil people. And, you know, that's a very common story. People say, well, I couldn't afford, you know, I was praying that God would get me a job, and I couldn't afford much, and so I got a couple of roommates, kind of neat guys, and I didn't know there was methamphetamines in the house. I didn't know they had a lab. How am I supposed to know? I wouldn't know what they look like, and everybody goes to jail. Everybody. Because you live in the house. Sure, go ahead and say you're innocent. But what God's Word says is, listen to me. You know, start to really pay attention. Get some understanding here. Don't run in the path with the wicked. Don't run with evil people. You'll be sorry if you do. It means steer clear of it all. Don't even walk past it. Run away from it. Haven't you heard God say that to you, Christian, a few times? Didn't Joseph run out of the house naked? The first streaker? Well, not, we don't, it doesn't count Adam and Eve. They weren't, that was okay. But, you know, Joseph, he ran out with, and his cloak was left behind. He was in trouble. He ran away rather than sin. When was the last time you ran away rather than sin? 2 Timothy 2:22. Paul's telling the pastor of the church. The pastor's name is Timothy. He's young. Paul says to the pastor, flee also youthful lusts. To flee means to turn and run away from them. Flee also youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What was Paul saying? I'll read it to you. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Verse 15, avoid it. Don't pass by it. Turn from it. Pass away. Or again, I'll say to you, don't walk past it. Run away from it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14 says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, speaking to the church at Corinth, the Christians, flee from idolatry. What does that mean? Run away. Physically run away from it. Get out of it and away from it. You see, church youth groups, because they're young, they call them youth. Not the groups, the people. You know how many rotten youth groups there are in America today? Because really, they're not seeking, a lot of them, they're not seeking to run from things. They're just seeking to hang out together. And they assume, and you know what you do when you assume, you make a big mistake, right? They assume everybody in the group's Christian or they wouldn't be here. Pretty weak assumption, wouldn't you say? Oh, sure. Anybody going to get you in trouble? Oh, sure. You can count on it if you're going to run with them. But sooner or later, this word of God starts taking hold. You really start applying the wisdom from above, which is first pure. You start saying, all right, now I know that these people have a bad attitude. I don't need to judge them, but I certainly am not going to run with them. And see, then the people look at you and say, you're judging it. No. Whatever you do, man, that's your business. I'm not doing it. Oh, you're holier than thou. Whatever. Say what you want. Sticks and stones, you know, you go for it. The truth is, that's what God's Word says. We want to be careful who we run with. Don't even pass by the way of the wicked. Steer clear. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. What things should you run away from? Love of money. He's talking about there. He says, flee idolatry, run away from it. Flee youthful lusts. Those are your physical body is going to get you in trouble. So he says, run away if you get yourself into a situation. And we shouldn't get ourselves in those situations, but we do, don't we? I mean, we do. We get there and you think, uh-oh, didn't plan this one. Run away. Then he says, run away from covetousness. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Run away from these things. See, it's by the strength of God, we ought to be putting some feet to the Word of God. By the strength of God, we ought to be acting upon these things. And only you know if you are or not. Only I know. Only we know if we are. I mean, we may not tell anybody else. And nobody else can really recognize it. They think they're pretty good at it, but they're really not. They don't really know. You can fool some of the people some of the time. But you can't fool all of the people all of the time. So if you're fooling, sooner or later, somebody's going to catch on. Even if they weren't trying to notice, if we're fooling, it's going to show sooner or later. And so he says this, avoid the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil, but avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Get away from it. For they sleep not. Who's he talking about? He's still referring to the wicked.
They don't sleep except they have done mischief. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. You know, that is true if you've ever been around people that aren't very nice. You'll notice that they lay awake sometimes trying to figure out things they can do wrong. You probably don't, and you shouldn't, but I used to spend a lot of nights, say from 2 in the morning to 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, almost every night, I would hang out at places like Denny's, IHOP's, those things. After doing a gig, you know, playing some music, and you're so pumped from screaming and sweating and yelling and jumping and rolling all over the floor that you're just burned out, and so you just go get something to eat. That's kind of how you calm down, unless you use drugs like some of the guys did. And you'd go to a Denny's or something, and you'd sit there, and you could hear the people talking. You'd hear strange things being discussed. Hey, let's go to so-and-so's. You can't help but listen, you know, because people that are drunk and are weird, they're kind of loud anyway. Let's go to so-and-so's. Well, man, he won't be away. Let's just wake him up. Let's do a little drugs. He sells. Let's go. You notice how they can't get sleep unless they make somebody else to stumble or to fall. You know, it's very common. Very, very common. And so what are we told? Stay away from them. Don't run with them. Flee from there. Don't even enter into the path. That's interesting. God knows people so well. You notice that they'll sit around and they'll say things like this. Well, I mean, I've talked with people who I've arrested. I'll say, now, why did you decide you want to rob this bank? I mean, what's going on in your head? We were just sitting around the house with nothing to do. We just got to talking. Wonder, you ever try to rob a bank? We're kind of, I mean, how many of you do that? Don't raise your hand. It's out of nowhere, it's just the thought pops in your hand. Let's go knock over a bank. And you know, I tell them, you know, that's not normal thinking. You know, most people I don't think that. Really? You know, the heart is desperately wicked above all things. God tells that to Jeremiah. And who can know it? I just saw that the man, did you see that in the news? That he stabbed his two little children to death and was stabbing the third one to death, but the police shot him and killed him to stop him. Back in what, New Jersey or New York? You know, the heart is desperately wicked. Of course, all the neighbors said exactly what the neighbors, you expect them to say. He's a loving man, he loves his family, he gets along great with his kids, we have no idea, and now you'll never know because he's dead. So he can never explain, you know, what he was thinking, or if he was thinking, or anything. And you know, that's the heart of mankind. It's desperately wicked. The lady that killed her what, 4 children, 5 children? She says now the devil entered her and caused her to do that. You know, and you think, what are people thinking? What's going on? What is going on? I'm going to tell you something. Check out the people you hang out with. Really. Because these people that are doing these things, they are semi-sane. And these things are coming out of nowhere. And what does God's word say? Don't even run with them. Don't go in the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they don't sleep except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Misery always loves company. And you'll see people always wanting others to fall with them too. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. What does that mean? Path of the just is like shining light. Literally, it's like rays of light in the morning. That's the path of righteousness. The path that the just would walk on. It's like
rays of light shining in the morning, shining more and more, until it's bright noonday. That's what that language means when it says, path of justice is like a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day or complete day or the brightest part of the sunshiny day. You see, you walk in the light, you walk upright, you walk where you should be walking, knowing where to step, knowing where it's safe, knowing that this is God's Word, using the wisdom that comes from above. God he teaches you, and then you're able to apply what you learn, right? The way of the wicked is the opposite of that. It's as darkness. They do not know at what they stumble. Notice that there are two, just two ways. And the two ways are opposite from one another. There are not five ways. You are in one of these ways, and so am I right now. There are not all kinds of ways. There are two ways. One of them in complete darkness, one of them in bright light. Where are you?
I'm in the light.
Well, then how come you're stumbling around? Look. Jesus said in the Gospels, straight is the gate and narrow is the way to life, and few there be that find it. But on the opposite, broad is the way that leads to destruction. How many of you are walking on Broadway instead of narrow way? In the book Pilgrim's Progress, maybe you've read that, or maybe you bought the little thing so you could do a book report on it. John Bunyan wrote that book while he was in prison. Well, in the book Pilgrim's Progress, Christian and his partner, his friend's name's Faith, one of them, they come upon a city. And in that story, remember, they come upon a city called Vanity Fair. What was that all about? That was the place where everybody indulges in their own flesh, just does everything they want to do. Right? You remember that? If any of you that read the story? Whatever they want to do, that's what they do. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, that's Broadway. That's Broadway. Wide, broad is the way that leads to death and destruction. And that's where people are living, and that's where people are walking. And what you're learning in chapter 4 of Proverbs is you don't want to walk on Broadway. You want to walk on narrow way. You want to be paying attention, living, growing, learning, doing the things that are right in the eyes of the Lord, in your business, in your home, in your school, in your relationships, in your everything that you are. That's what you want to do. You want to use wisdom, you want to do that. You know, Vanity Fair is darkness. The people can't even see where they're going. They don't know where it leads. And they're sorry when they find out where it leads, and then they're mad at God. When they end up in prison, when they end up with diseases, they're on their deathbed and they're wanting you to spend more and more and more money to find cures for this. When you told them, don't get it, just don't get it in the first place. Here's how we're sure that this is a way to get it, so don't do this. People say, I'm going to do that anyway. When they end up with a disease, then they're angry with God, and they're angry with the government, and they're angry with everybody. Why aren't you trying to help me? They're in complete darkness. They're clueless. They don't even know what they're doing. They're walking around in complete darkness. It's Vanity Fair. Just indulging in everything you want to do in your own lusts. My son, verse 20, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You know, God's word, or God's words, are the words of life. That's what you need to keep in front of your eyes. The words of life. John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus spoke these words. John 6, 63. He said, it is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, they are life. God's words are the words of life. So he says, attend to my words. They're the words of life. Tend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Are you paying attention to the Word of God? Are you really giving yourself to the Bible, to study it, to be able to rightly divide it, to learn the doctrine, to learn God's will, to understand what He's got to say? He says, "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." When a man became king, one of the things the king had to do was read the Bible out loud, the whole thing. Did you know that? You can go back, read through your Old Testament, 1st, 2nd Samuel, read through, and you'll see, and following. And you'll see the king had to, out loud, read the entire scripture. Out loud. Pretty regularly, too. What does God say here? Let His words not depart from your eyes. Are we guilty of not reading our Bibles? Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. What did Jesus say in John 6:63? The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Keep your heart with all diligence, verse 23 says, for out of it are the issues of life. To keep means to guard. Remember, in the New Testament, you'll see the guards that were guarding the tomb were called keepers. It's not a zoo situation. The word means to guard. So we are told, guard our hearts with all diligence. You need to be alert and to be protecting and guarding your heart. You got to watch out what you let in. And things come in from the strangest places. I mean, you can think this is the most innocent thing of all. Or, you know, I've seen people, they'll read certain kinds of Christian books, and pretty soon they live in this fantasy world. It's not real anymore. And they see themselves in that book. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to build those. Well, I'm going to... And they start living a life that's not even real. You got to guard your heart. Now, don't blame it on the writer. The writer may not have had that intention at all. But here we go. Are you guarding your heart? Notice, he says, with all diligence. All diligence. You got to be serious about it. So if your walk is one of those, you know, Sunday, you know, through the week, I've kind of got it rough. And plus, I work around people that really are foul. And, you know, I just kind of have to stay with them. And so I use the same kind of language they do. And I you know, we tell the same kind of jokes. And, you know, we have the same kind of attitudes. But you have to keep that attitude in my line of work. Wait a minute. Are you guarding your heart with all diligence? For out of it are the issues of life. You know, the most important thing to watch over for you, Bible says, is your heart. Your heart means the center of your innermost being, which includes your mind, your emotions. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about your physical heart. You know, you think, well, I guard my heart because I don't eat a lot of cholesterol. I don't eat red meat. No, well, that's good. But no, this is your innermost being here. We're not talking about that physical heart. You should take care of that too. But we're talking about your mind, your emotions. What gets in there? How are they being treated? Are they ruling you? Or are you guarding them and protecting them and overseeing? You know, the issues of life, the wellspring of life, your thoughts and your actions. Jesus says in Matthew 15, He says it's not what you eat that will harm you. It's not what goes into your body that's going to harm you. Remember they were complaining about, wait a minute, you're eating and you haven't washed your hands. How come your disciples don't wash their hands? Well, it's not what you eat or what goes into your body that's going to harm you. And in verses 19 through 20 of Matthew 15, he says, it's what comes out, it's what comes from your heart that's going to defile a man. It's not what you eat that defiles a man, it's what comes out. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, does not defile a man. So today, when a man murders two children and he stabbed the other one severely and he was stopped, he could say, I don't know what was going on. I'm not sure what's happening to me. I'm demon possessed. My home left. My feet hurt. I got in a bad mood. He lost his job. He's been out of work for 6 months. I mean, there could be a million good reasons, but we know where that came from. It came from his heart. He didn't guard his heart. And we know when someone drowns their babies, it comes from their heart. They weren't guarding their heart. Now, they may have post-mortem or post-whatever blues. I'd have post-mortem blues. I guess you could have that. But the truth is, that comes from a heart. These things are coming from the hearts of us. And the heart is, we learned from Jeremiah, it's desperately wicked. Now, you got to begin to believe that. God said so. If it's desperately wicked, we need to guard our hearts. Be careful what we put in it. It's a joke among people. Christians joke with one another. What kind of movies do you watch? I only watch the kind that have a little bit of sex. Well, that's going in there, and that's going to do something to me. It's getting in there somewhere. You haven't guarded your heart. You say, oh, now we can't watch movies? Okay, if that's what you think, good. Perfect. You guarding your heart? You care what goes in there? You care, you got to be watching. What you hear is important. What you see. Go to a Christian concert, can't hear the words, but you can see the blood from the people banging their heads against each other and mosh pitting, and you think, okay, that's getting in your heart. Okay, nice. Okay, cool. Let's run and butt up against each other without football helmets on. But it's Christian. Right. Just think of an oxymoron, Christian thrash metal. Christian thrash doesn't, you can't do it, it doesn't work. What you hear is important. Hey, what you see is important. Job, I know that you don't think much of him, but you ought to go back and read some of the things he had to say. Read through the book of Job. He says, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I would not look upon a maid. A young girl. You think, well, Job, he had a problem with it. I don't. Yeah, you do. Sure you do. You're not guarding your heart. You're letting it go. You're going to see adultery. You're going to see affairs. You're going to see breakups of the family. You're going to see a lot of things. And that's coming from what? Well, the drugs we're taking. It's the stress level. I mean, that's why people in the post office crack up. It's just, no, it's coming from your heart. That's what God has shown us. It's coming from our heart. So you want to be careful what you study. Christian, what are you studying? Are you really studying that cult, spending so much time in it because you really want to understand what they say? It's better to, when you work at a bank and they want you to recognize counterfeit money, and I know that you guys have seen this, some of you probably work at banks, you know this. What do they have you do? If they want you to recognize counterfeit money, what do? They give you real money. That's how you recognize counterfeit. And you handle it. They have you practice and handle it. And so when counterfeit comes through, you can feel. The tellers will say, something wrong with it. I don't know. It's different. Well, do you really think God wants you to just go in and become read that satanic Bible over and over and over till you understand it? Or do you really think He wants you to get into His Word and be over and over so that you understand it, so that you recognize anything counterfeit coming along? See, because it's important what you see. It's important what you read. It's important what you hear. It's important what's going on. Guard your heart. Put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put them far from you. Let your eyes look right on. First time I ever read that when I was young, I thought, oh, King. I've been calling it the King Jive version ever since. He says, let it look right on. Okay. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Let your eyes look right on. What are your eyes? What do you guys let your eyes see? Have you ever thought about what your eyes see? Have you just ever thought about it? In a 24-hour period, what do your eyes see? I was driving over to play racquetball and I'm watching people, I see people talking on the phone. I can see people, you can tell when they're fighting. It's kind of cool. You watch them drive by. The ones that are kind of fun are the ones that forget that there are other cars on the road and they come by singing. Those are cool. They're just, and you think, go for it, lady. What do your eyes see? You ever think about what your eyes see as you go through a 24-hour day? How many of you ever have been to a fitness club? You don't have to raise your hands, but you ever? What do your eyes see in there? You can get on that machine, and machines, those aren't from God. And so they're designed to create pain in your life and things. And so you're trying to find something to look at. And what do they put right in front of you? Rosie. You ever think about what your eyes see? Widescreen. There she is. Four or five different TVs there with four or five garbage things going at once. And if you think, I don't listen to it. So they write the words for you out there for the hearing impaired. So you get on the machine and you decide you're going to walk backwards. Turn around and just walk backwards. And then they won't let you because they say it's not safe. Verses 24 through 27. Put away from you a froward mouth. Be careful what you speak to others. Perverse lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. So everybody, throughout this coming week, as you're studying in your Bible, think about the path that your feet are walking through this week. Don't think about everybody else's. I'll get so-and-so this tape. Well, get it for him if you want. But we all need to watch our own feet through this week, he says. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Lock yourself into the pattern that is a good, solid, holy pattern. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. What he's saying is if you're a part of something you shouldn't be, get out. Remove your foot. Pay attention to how you're walking. Many today will tell you that some things in their past have destroyed their future. They didn't listen to this. You talk to someone who will say, I can't get a job. I can't get a decent job. Why? Because they won't hire ex-convicts. And I went to jail in my youth for this, and I was in jail for 7 or 8 years, and you listen to them and you say, what does it cost? I can't get good, solid employment. Nobody trusts me. I mean, I've been out of prison for 10 years, but no one will trust me. What are they saying? I can't do it. I can't fix what happened. I should have been wise. I should have thought about the path my feet were on, but I didn't. And it's costing me now. And how many times do you hear people talk about that? The use of drugs or their use of alcohol. And now how their minds don't function right or their physical bodies are messed up. Amazing how many people who used drugs back then and thought that they had no effects, thought that they got away with it in their minds. How many liver difficulties are showing up now from all those guys and gals throughout the 60s and 70s. And you're starting to see major liver troubles. And the doctor's saying, yeah, did you use drugs? Yeah, I'm pretty heavy. Well, here we go. You see, are you pondering the path you're on right now? You see, some of you are young and you know you're going to live about 1 million years. Are you pondering the path that you're on? Because then when you get up to be the age that's a little older, your knees don't seem to function right. But you didn't think about it when you played sports. Nobody told you what your knees were going to be like when you hit 40 or 50 or 60. You just played and you were going. You weren't pondering the path that you were on. You know, but some of you got a chance. Are you thinking about some of these things? Where are you headed? Where are you headed? Some of us can, well, let me read it to you. He says this, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right, to the left. Remove your foot from evil. See, it's never too late for any of us. Never. We can start today by starting all over again, removing our foot from evil. Some of you are young enough to where you haven't even started out on the path. You can't even spell path. And so that's good. Are you paying attention to what path you're going to take? A lot of good, solid advice. A lot of good, solid Word of God there in chapter 4 alone. These things are for real. You may not take advantage of the wisdom that you've just read through in chapter 4. But when you don't take advantage of it, you'll realize it won't be your Father's fault. Because He said, listen to me.
Let these things get into your heart. Pay attention to them. Study these things. Guard your heart. Watch where you walk. Don't run with certain kinds of people. Run with those that you know are solid, with those that love the Lord. Find those that love the Lord and hang out with them. Let them, you know, you may feel a little awkward. I remember as a young man, I wanted to learn more, and I wasn't quite sure how. So I was at 26 years old. The two men that I hung out with, both of them were in their late 60s. I couldn't run too much with the guys my age because all the guys my age were into drugs and were chasing all the girls. And I thought, I want to try and learn this. So instead of hanging out with my friends, I was hanging out with a couple of old pastors who would go and have hot tea. Now, it wasn't a lot of adventure to it. But man, they helped me to understand some things. And they kept me in line, and they would say things to me, and they were trying to help me along. They could see this kid's useless. They knew. I mean, they could see. And so they thought, let's just do what we can for him. They let me hang out with them. I didn't understand. I didn't know that I was really doing what God wanted me to do. God protects children and fools, so I was covered. Maybe that's what you ought to do. You need to look at people. You can't know hearts. None of us can. But we can sure say to the Lord, here's my heart. I want to do the things that are right. I want to do the things that are solid. I want to do the things that are glorifying to you. I want to watch the path that I'm on. I want to watch where my feet go so that I'm not stopped up, or so that when I run, I don't fall. Pray about these things. God loves you, and He's allowed you to hear it. Now you've got some choices to make and something to do with your own heart, to begin to guard your own heart. Let's bow our heads together.